I have too many slides, but I'll try to cover this. My presentation is a little different in that it's based on a community-based sample instead of a clinic sample. And so North Carolina, like other southern states, has high rates of HIV and STIs, and they tend to be concentrated among the minorities. And we have a lot of problems in the rural areas, too. And I don't have rates. These are just the raw numbers of cases in North Carolina of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. And this study was a research project that was conducted in four counties, two rural and two urban counties in North Carolina. Durham County and Wake County are the urban counties, and Chatham and Johnston County are the rural counties. This study was part of a cooperative agreement funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse called the Sexual Acquisition and Transmission of HIV Cooperative Agreement Program. And the goal of the SAFCAP was to explore the potential for the sexual diffusion of HIV from men who have sex with men and drug users to women and the general population. And so as part of that, we tested for a lot of STDs and things. Participants were recruited using respondent-driven sampling, which is a coupon-based referral system that you give like each person three coupons or five coupons, and they give it to those coupons to other people that they know that meet or they think meet the eligibility criteria. And then when those people bring in the coupons, then the person who gave out the coupons gets paid for it. And by recording all this information and controlling the number of coupons that are distributed, supposedly after 4 to 6 waves out from the initial person you give the coupon to, you end up with a probability sample of these populations like drug users and men who have sex with men that you can't really do a probability sample of. Now, I'm not going to get into all of the issues about RDS, and there's different people have different opinions about it. But anyway, for this study, people had to be 18 years old, use a hard drug within the past 6 months, either report male-to-male anal intercourse within the previous 6 months, or you could be a sex partner of one of these groups. We recruited 1,985 participants for this study between 2005 and 2008, and we tested them for HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. The gonorrhea and chlamydia were tested using a urine PCR-based test that I believe it's okay for research, it's approved for research, but I don't think it's approved for diagnosis. As mentioned about RDS, that there's a program for calculating weights to assess of what the sample would be. And so there's the unweighted and the weighted prevalence of each of these infections in the sample. And for the most part, they're not that different. And when they're not that different, then it's better to use the unweighted because it reduces the error and stuff. And I'll point out a couple things here real quick. That this is just some comparisons of the rural and the urban samples. The rural sample was more likely to be female, more likely to be non-Hispanic white, and less likely to be homeless than the urban sample. We had about 1,400 people in the urban sample and almost 600 in the rural sample. So that's a pretty good for research to get 600 people in two rural counties was a lot of work. But anyway, one of the main things here is that each of these STIs was high. The prevalence was higher in the rural areas. In particular, gonorrhea was a lot higher in the rural areas than in the urban area. And you can see that alcohol and drug use were common in both areas. That powder cocaine was the big drug in the rural areas. Crack cocaine was the big drug in the urban areas. Injection was pretty rare in the rural counties, and about 14% of the sample in the urban areas injected. Heroin use was 10% in the urban areas and about 1% in the rural areas. The sexual behaviors were fairly similar. That we had a lot more bisexual behavior in the urban areas and than in the rural areas. And although we were trying, we thought we were going to get gay men, that we actually ended up with about almost 300 men who said that they had sex with men in the past 6 months, and of those, two-thirds were reported sex with both men and women. And so a lot of it was men who were using crack and trading sex for drugs and things. But so I'm going to give you a real quick thing about each one of these infections. Okay, so you can see that gonorrhea, of course, if you were recruited in a rural site, the prevalence was higher than in the in the urban areas. It was rates were higher among younger people, and among people they were lower among homeless people. And so you can see there's not a lot of difference in the drug use in terms of the positives and the people who were in terms of rates of gonorrhea. The methamphetamine use was higher, but there were very few methamphetamine users in the sample. And so you see people that had five or more sex partners were more likely to have gonorrhea. In a logistic regression model that adjusted for age and race and gender, that you can see that living in a rural area, the odds of having gonorrhea were about 3.5 times higher than in an urban area. And having more than five sex partners in the past 6 months was also associated with it. And chlamydia, again, younger age, and here, actually being not African Americans were at lower risk of, or no, they were at higher risk of chlamydia. Okay, so, that, again, you can see the drug use. There's no significant differences in drug use, although they look, in the logistic regression model, again, living in a rural area was almost three times more likely to have test positive for chlamydia. Because there's only like maybe we had about 60 or 70 people test positive for chlamydia, about 50 test positive for syphilis, and 50 test positive for gonorrhea, these models don't include, you know, a whole lot of variables. And so syphilis, again, now syphilis was more common among older people. Now, and this is, we did a, you know, I'm not separating out the different stages of the syphilis here. This is just, yes, we did, I think, MHA or a VDRL test to identify people, and then we did a RPR to see if it was active. And so these are people with active syphilis. And there's not a lot of differences there. Again, crack users were more likely to have syphilis. These are people that had more sex partners were a little more likely to have syphilis. Again, what did I do here? I think that this should be the syphilis model. I'm sorry, I don't know. Copy of these things. But anyway, that people who lived in the rural areas were again more likely to have syphilis. And so than the other people. And so the limitations that we had relatively small numbers of people who were infected with each of these diseases. We used a urine PCR test. We thought about asking people to do anal swabs, but these are research sites, and so we decided not to do that. So we didn't test for rectal gonorrhea, which so it may have underestimated the prevalence of gonorrhea in the MSM. We used RDS to reduce bias, but the sample still may not be representative, and it may be that maybe we should have done, you know, like, because we had four counties, and maybe we needed to do separate weights for each county. I'm not going to get into all that, but and the data on risk behaviors are based on self-report, although we did collect using audio CASI computer-assisted self-interviews, which have been shown to minimize, like, under-reporting of stigmatized behaviors, okay? And so, STIs are a problem in rural North Carolina. We need to come up with cost-efficient ways of reducing them. And these are the other sites in the cooperative agreement. Thank you.